702 Health and Wellness.
All right, it's time for our health and wellness feature now. It's 23 minutes before 12 o'clock. And on our health and wellness feature this morning, I want us to have a conversation about running, right? How do we go about running, whether you're a beginner or maybe you're someone who runs a lot? How do you go about doing that? There's a big community of runners on 702. So we have invited a strength and conditioning coach who's going to give us some tips, whether you are someone who runs marathons, whether you occasionally jog, you know, here and there, or maybe you're someone who wants to get into running. Maybe you run to burn some calories. Maybe you run to just maintain your fitness. Maybe you just enjoy running. Eh? Maybe you're an athlete. Are you a type that runs and just collects medals? What kind of shoes should you be wearing when you're running? Should you run when you are sick? What injuries should you look out for and how do you treat them? Give us a call if you're a runner and you've got some questions, or maybe you want to try running. This is something you want to get into. 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 0727021702. Derek Archer is a strength and conditioning coach who's going to guide us through this chat. How are you doing, Derek? Thanks for making time for us. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
So, I'm going to be a little selfish and talk about pains first and injuries, because I'm dealing with one myself. I've got an ankle injury that I'm dealing with here. I think they called it a niggle ankle injury. And it's happening before I'm supposed to be, well, I'm praying to God that I will still be able to run the London Marathon happening this coming Sunday. When you've got an injury like that, is it something to be worried about 5-6 days before you're supposed to run a marathon?
That's a very personal question, I'd say, because like you say, you've probably put in a lot of time building up to this event.
Yes.
So you don't really want to not do it, but at the same time, you've got to work out the extent that it's affecting your running. So if it's something that you can run through and it's just irritating, you know, that's a personal choice. But if it's where it actually starts to change how you run, your gait, how much load you're putting on your body unnecessarily, then you need to start looking at it from a different perspective. And also, what level of pain is that? Unfortunately, pain is not always our friend and is an indicator that something's wrong. So, you know, you might be able to do the race, but then it may put you out of running for a long time afterwards. And whether it's worth the sacrifice, that's entirely up to you. But once again, you know, these niggles can turn into something quite dramatic. So, you know, you consult with a medical professional just to help you out and make sure maybe they'll be able to give you an ankle brace or some exercises in the meantime to keep the ankle mobile, but with less of a niggle, should we say.
Yeah, I've got an appointment with the biokineticist, and I'm hoping after that I'll have a sense of what things are looking like. So so there are people who run the marathons. There are people who are just, they enjoy an occasional jog here and there. But I imagine there are certain things that are common tips for all the people, whether you do a 10K once a month or once a week, or you do like 50Ks every single week. What would you say are the tips for runners, whether it's occasional runners or people who do it quite often?
The best tip of all, I think, is to get the right pair of shoes. Mm. And, you know, everyone is designed differently. We have different joint, or we have different biomechanics, so to speak. And, you know, if you are going to get into running seriously, rather save up and spend the money in a good pair of shoes. So if you go to one of the reputable sports stores, and some of them are runners shops or specialist running shops, but the guys or the people that operate there or work there are usually very, very skilled at helping you decide on the best pair of shoes, and they're going to give you a couple of options. And you know, most of the people that I've engaged with in those shops are so keen just to help you. They're not really worried about, you know, selling you the most expensive pair of shoes or anything like that. They're going to rather sell you something that's going to keep you coming back and keep you engaged in the sport, because ultimately that's long-term business then. And then once you find a pair of shoes that works for you, obviously the rest of your gear is up to personal preference, but definitely the right shoes. And, you know, if you're not sure, the next step from that is, especially if you're starting out, is to get a running program from either one of the reputable running websites or find a running coach or join a club where the guys will be able to assist you building up in a safe way, you know, not going from zero to hero.
Yeah, yeah. What is it? What are the consequences of running without the right shoes? And because I realized that I started having knee injuries when I started running. My Achilles was in pain most of the time, and I tried everything. I did the exercises with the biokineticist, everything, until one day my bio said, "Let's go get you new shoes. Go to this place. They'll look at how you land, how you run, and they're going to advise what shoes are for people who run like you do." And since then, I've never had a problem with my knee or my Achilles. And I just couldn't believe what a difference getting the right shoes would make in my running experience. So what are those some of the consequences where you can actually injure yourself? You can have some pains when you are not running in the right shoes?
Most definitely. And remember, your feet are a contact point to the ground. And the way our feet move, I mean, your ankle joint is designed to move almost in three planes of movement. And the way that it moves, the way that it strikes the ground, allows us to absorb a lot of the force that we are enduring when we hit the ground. And at the same time, be able to convert that force into forward propulsion. Now, if your feet aren't hitting the ground correctly, if you're not wearing the correct footwear, that force, it tends to rather go up into the body rather than help propel ourselves forward, to put it in sort of simple terms. And, you know, the next point of contact from your ankle up is your knee joint, from your knee goes to your hip and then into your back. And you must remember, every time your foot hits the ground when you're running, and remember to define between running and walking, the big difference between the two, or the most significant difference, is at running, at some point, you'll have both feet off the ground. So when that front foot lands, you're getting about 4.5 times your body mass going through your knee. And if you convert that to force in newtons, you're times about 10 roughly. Mm. And that's a huge amount of force going through the knee. And if it isn't able to travel through the knee, be absorbed by the musculature, and if it doesn't go through the direct line, force line through the knee joint, then you will start to pick up knee injuries. So the simple thing, like someone whose arch has collapsed under load, you know, as soon as their foot hits the ground, the arch sort of drops inwards and the ankle everts. That starts pressure on the inside of the knee, for example, and one of the reasons for that. The other thing that often happens, you know, if you're not wearing the correct footwear, once again, to absorb some of that shock, now if you're going from walking around every day to suddenly running, you know, you start to pick up issues like shin splints, and those start to become, they may start off slowly, but they become a chronic injury, and unless they're dealt with, can be very limiting on your participation. And, you know, just understanding that if you're starting out, you're putting a lot of extra force in the body, as I mentioned, but also you're expecting joints to move through further range of motion. There's a bigger movement when you are running.
Yeah. Oh, we're losing Derek there. I think we've lost him. Okay, I'm going to put Derek back to the producers, and then we're going to reestablish that line. All right, I see your questions coming through. Are you a long-term runner? Have you been running for a long time? Have you just started running? Are you trying to get into running? What question do you have about running, about jogging? 011-883-0702. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702. I'll start with those after the break. It's 15 before 12.
702 Health and Wellness.
I'd like to hear from you now. It's 12 minutes before 12 o'clock on our Health and Wellness feature this morning. We are talking about running, giving you tips if you are a beginner, giving you tips if running is something you want to get into for whatever reason. Maybe you just want to maintain your fitness. Maybe you want to lose a bit of weight. Maybe you just want to use it as therapy, because it really can be therapy, running. Derek Acha is a strength and conditioning coach who's joining us for this chat. Let's start with your voice note.
Hi, good afternoon, Clement. Yeah, this is our topic, the runners. I've started running. I was 18 when I started, and then first official race was in 1981. I'm turning 64 this year. I've done 12 comrades, going for 13. I've done 2 oceans, so many. Soweto Marathon, I think I've got 16. Los Cop, I've got
what?
8. Omni Dam, I've got 8. Yeah, so running, it's in my body. And then Currently, I'm seeing a physio who's helping me now to strengthen my muscles, and then it is working. Yeah, it's Clement in Mamelodi. Thank you. Bye.
Pardon, Clement. Yo. That's crazy. So many Omdi dams, two oceans, comrades. You're so lucky because I've had conversations with people who have done like 6, 10. Oh, I had a conversation with someone who has done 25 comrades. How crazy? But they've only finished 23, I think. I was at a dinner and I was sitting on a table with this guy, with this old man. And it was so incredible. But unfortunately, and I say you're lucky because there are people who, after, you know, a specific, you know, number of runs, it's very difficult for them to continue running. Like, they are now finished, you know, especially with age. But if you've been able to do so many and you're still working with a physio, there's still possibilities of you, you know, still continuing to run. That's amazing, man. That's amazing. Well done. Iggy on the WhatsApp line says, Clement, I just run for health and fitness. And I want to know from Derek, which time of the day is better to run? Is it morning or late afternoon, early evening? All right, I'll ask Derek to respond to that. Another person says, Clement, my heel bone is painful most, especially in the morning. I've got a new running shoes. However, the stabbing pain does not go away. Constantly stretching my plantar fascia and applying ice, but still not helping. Please. Can you advise? Derek, let's start with the question from Iggy, who's asking, okay, I run for health and fitness. Which time of the day is better to run? Is it morning or late afternoon into early evening?
I would say whichever you actually feel better on. That's a very personal thing. So in terms of physiologically, should we say, there may be certain differences. If you haven't had any food in the morning, some people say it's better to exercise in a fasted state because it helps you burn body fat or whatever it may be. But you know, if you're just running for general health, I think it's much better to do it when you feel the most comfortable. And obviously, when it's safest, barring, you know, dark running in the dark. But I would say definitely when it's out of personal preference there. I know that if I don't do it in the morning, the chances of me doing it in the afternoon are very small, personally.
Yeah. So another one says, good morning, Clement. In terms of nutrition, at which point should one start taking supplements? I have a challenge with nutrition during races. It's a question from Anonymous.
Look, it depends how long the race is. I generally say, look, once again, this is up to a personal opinion. It's based on your normal nutrition anyway, whether you're following a healthy diet and whether you have a pre-race meal. But the rule of thumb tends to be that you have some sort of carbohydrates. If you're going to be running for more than an hour, then start having any of the carbohydrates, whether they're goos or gels, or even a Coke passing a water station around about 45 minutes into the event, if you are going to be running for more than an hour, and keep up that sort of nutrition. For much longer events, much longer endurance events, you know, you're going to have to take on a little bit more than just glucose. And, you know, sometimes, like you'll see in the comrades, for instance, they'll have tables where they have potatoes or salt on them. And, you know, it's such a nice break from just having all this sweet stuff all the time.
Yeah.
To have some salt, obviously keep your salt content and that high, and at the same time, give you some sort of nutrition.
Okay.
And you should also teach yourself to handle some form of protein as well. You've got to be selective because your protein obviously takes a little bit more digestion time. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it depends on the duration of your event. Some of these ultra events, you've got to take on a lot more than just carbohydrates.
Yeah. There's someone here who was asking about shoes. Where is that? Okay, I'll find that. Let's play these WhatsApp voice notes in the meantime.
Good morning, Clement. Mr. Patel is here in Naturena. Thank you for the topic, my brother. I've got an injury that I picked up in 2014 already, when I was running a Nelson Mandela marathon. And fortunately, with lack of knowledge, I was running on running shoes that are not meant for running. I think it was a Nike Techies that I had, which have a hard sole. So I'm just wondering what treatment is there, because I underwent treatment through the physios and I tried that for a long time, but it didn't work, and I still have pain in just underneath my toes, on my, particularly on the right hand side. I think it's the foot that I was using very hard to just press. I put pressure on that foot more than the left hand side one. So I'm just wondering from the your guest there, what remedies are there or treatment other than physiotherapy?
Derek?
Okay, so when it's such a long-term injury, I think there's obviously a lot more to it. I mean, it could be down to something like you may have a leg length discrepancy that as an issue that's picked up because you started running. The incorrect foot was obviously a big problem.
Yeah.
But then, you know, if you're not getting the result, if you're not getting any benefit, or if you're not feeling any benefit from a treatment from a physiotherapist, the next step is to go to a sports doctor. And, you know, there are a number of different sports clinics around where those sports physicians will be able to perhaps give you a different perspective or take a different perspective, do some x-rays perhaps to make sure that there's no damage to the bone structures underneath there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's been this long, there could have been nerve damage underneath the foot there as well. And, you know, something that's, I mean, that's almost 10 years. It's almost a decade of pain, which is it's just quite a lot. So I would definitely go the next step up to a sports doctor.
Okay.
And, you know, they'd be able to recommend other treatments. Like I said, normally the physio is the first line of call. If there's pain, go to the physiotherapist and let them refer on, because obviously the physios also have a network of professionals that they work with and they trust to look after their own patients. So, yeah,
okay,
definitely a medical professional up the chain.
Another one says, Clement, I have broken my foot when a horse stood on it. I love running. I would like to know, where should I go for shoe fitment? I know a place, and you can give us if you've got some suggestions, Derek, but I got my shoes from the sweatshop, Dunkeld. It's in Rosebank. It's perfect. They go there, they get you into different shoes, you run, and they tell you this is the best shoe for you. So the sweatshop, Dunkeld in Rosebank. Any other suggestions you have, Derek?
You have Renberg Runner, which is just in Creston, up a sort of Linden way. That's also it's very good. And they do have a couple of...
So repeat that, Derek. You were cutting there.
There's a shop called the Randburg Runner.
Okay.
It's in Linden in Johannesburg, just between sort of Greenside and Northcliff. They're also very good there. And they check your feet to make sure you get the right shoes. So, like I said, the sweatshop's also fantastic. I've had a lot of great service over the years from them as well. So, and they definitely pay attention to what your individual requirements are, for sure.
Okay, another question is, please, can you give me some tips on uphill running? I'm 33 years old. Any tips?
Okay, so our tendency when running hills is to sort of take short steps to get up to the top of the hill and then turn around and run back. If we're running back down, we tend to take long strides. So a tip for running uphill is to take a slightly bigger stride. So, you know, as you're increasing your stride length, obviously it's got to be more, feel natural still, not like you're trying to do a leapfrog up the hill, but when you take a bigger stride, you tend to use your glute muscles more, so your butt muscles, and it's not only depending on your quads. Now, if you're taking small steps, you're not really engaging your glutes as much, and that puts a lot of extra stress on the other muscles and fatigues them unnecessarily. So going up a hill, take a much bigger step. When you're going downhill, then cycle your feet a little bit faster, there's less impact on your knees. And make sure, remember, a lot of people tend to stride out on a downhill, for instance, and that means their foot lands in front of their center of gravity, which actually acts as a braking force, and at the same time gives your knee a bit of a rev.
Okay, quickly in 10 seconds, how important is just strength and conditioning? Because if you're just running, and you're not doing those butt muscles, you're not going to gym to do strength and conditioning, what are the consequences? So how important is spending time in the gym as well?
You need 2 days of strength work, and it doesn't have to be heavy weights. It just needs to be body weight stuff, but also changing your planes of movement. So not only doing lunges forward, do lunges sideways, good core work, good glute work. All of those muscles will help to stabilize you when you're running. You know, as I said, body weight is sufficient, but you should sort of build in, even on big endurance training programs, you should have at least 2 days of strength. And it doesn't mean you need to go to the gym for an hour. You can be done and dusted in 35 minutes. But definitely you've got to supplement your running stuff with strength work. It makes a big difference.
Derek Archer, you've been great. Thank you so much for joining us. He's a strength and conditioning coach.